Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
Any child who's deprived of a religious education in youth must go out and face the world in need of spiritual strength. They will be lacking on that they can draw from. The child that has no religious training in the home, in the church, or in Sunday school has a distinct an obvious disadvantage in facing the problems of life. This is why we promise to obey God's word and to train up these children in the way that they should go. Love, patience, gratitude, forbearance, and perseverance are Christian ideals that should be planted in the very souls of children while they are yet in the home. They should be taught Bible stories and the importance of prayer. They should know these things, and not just from the church, but in the home. Boy, at a young age, during the school years, and then when they're away from home, how important it is that they be able to have truths to lean on and to glean from. You need to make sure, parents, that your children know how to walk on their own. Alone, for lack of a better term. Will they ever really be alone? No, but they may be outside of your oversight, your immediate care and protection, and they need to know before they go how they live on their own when it comes to these spiritual matters of their walk with Christ. Because when they get out there, it's not the time to equip them to fight the battles that are come up. It will be too late. So much heartbreak, so much pain can be avoided if they are equipped beforehand, so that when that occurs, it's not the question, do I ask mom about this? Do I ask dad about this? Do I get some help? Do I figure it out for myself? It's simply, mom and dad said this would happen, and here it's happened. Now, what did they say was the right thing to do? What did they teach me about the Bible? They're already equipped. So we find the importance of instructing our children in the path of righteousness, his name's sake. And so we pledge to do this. Then we find that after religiously educating the children, it's also that we vow to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to have a personal active life of seeking the salvation of the lost. Did you know that whether or not you volunteer to help man the booth at the flea market, or to go out on visitation, or to pass out tracts, or whatever it may be, regardless of how you exercise that personal evangelism, did you know that you have vowed personally to make actively sharing the gospel with those around you as a vow to this assembly in the presence of God? That's what it says, that you will seek the salvation of your kindred and your acquaintances. It is going to be a priority in your life to ensure that they have a clear presentation of the gospel message, not just in word, but in our life. Then we get into some of our personal conduct. To walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment. To avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. Now, this is a big bill to fill. I mean, this is a lot, a mouthful. It can only be measurably met by the daily growth, some Christian graces that you can find in Romans 1 and 2 and in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. So let's quickly go over these. To walk circumspectly. Time won't allow, but Ephesians 5:15 lets us know to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And the idea of walking circumspectly means that one should conduct himself in a Christ-like manner. That's what it means, knowing that people are watching him. When one walks with moral watchfulness, caution, and prudence, he is walking circumspectly. That's what it means. That's what we vowed to do. We're going to be thinking before we act, before we speak, and before we go. We need to, it was Brother Archie had shared that a while ago. You need to think about where you're going. Ponder the path of thy feet. That's what circumspectly, we are going to be cautious and we are going to exercise ourselves in a Christ-like manner because we know people are watching. To be just in our dealings. That is a pledge of honesty or integrity in business affairs and fair play of life. Colossians 4:1 lets us know to give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. There were members of the church there at Corinth that were rebuked for defrauding one another. They were cheating one another, and then they were going to law before the world. They had some serious problems, and they were sternly rebuked for it. When people are saved and become church members, they should avoid cheating and lying and dealing unfairly. 1 Corinthians 6:8, Ephesians 4, 25. And one is a bad example of Jesus when he cheats, steals, or defrauds another. Again, this seems very elementary, but you would be, maybe you wouldn't be, shocked to see how often that happens, a member of a New Testament church behaving themselves in such a manner outside of these walls, sometimes even inside the wall. Well, we find the next is to be faithful in engagements. And this means when one makes an appointment, he should keep it in good conscience. Not to do so is a lie. And as a church, boy, when we appoint a time to meet, we should be faithful in our engagement to come and to join. To be exemplary in deportment, that means to be exemplary is to be an example. And that deportment literally means our conduct of life, the way that we live. We are to be an example in all of the things that we do, no matter how we find ourselves trying to express Christ in our life. Everything that we do, we ought to be a fine example. This is a vow toward clean and holy living. And it's only a matter of reasonable service to God, we find in Romans chapter 12. Verses. I haven't lost you yet, have we? I know we're going fast. I'm trying. We're going to make it. Do we pray, God, help us in our daily life to be an example of your dear son in everything that we do? That, in a nutshell, is what this section of the pledge is taught. That no matter what your career path, what your volition, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do to be a good example of Christ to those around you. To this, the church covenant calls our allegiance. And then quickly, one vows. These are things we promise to do. Now we're at a section of some things that as a member of the New Testament church, we vow, we pledge, we covenant together not to do. Listen very quickly, and I will speak very quickly. The first one, tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger is to avoid all, not some or when convenient, but we promise in the presence of God, his angels, and this assembly to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. Tattling is a wicked and a nasty sin that's often indulged in by the nicest people to the corruption of their own influence. When one becomes a member of the Lord's church, he promises to avoid all tattling. Do you seek to strive to keep this vow, this promise? Proverbs 18:8 reads, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go into the innermost parts of the belly." Talebearing is a sorry employment of little souls in rebellion against the word of God. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16 reads, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people." And I won't read this verse because some of y'all would get really mad at me. But if you will, look up 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 13. You look that up for yourself to read. I'm going to keep on reading from my notes here. But a talebearer is an unprincipled person who sows strife and discord. They are not worthy of being trusted. Proverbs 26:20, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." Solomon said in Proverbs 20:19, "A talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." Boy, why does the church have to make a vow to avoid these things? It seems like, well, we shouldn't be anywhere near them. Can I tell you, these things run rampant in all churches all across the world because we are still human and these tendencies go unchecked. And we do the exact thing we've promised not to do. And we go up and down, tattling, talebearing, telling secrets. Well, talebearers are usually first-rate liars with tongues sharper than a serpent's tooth, set on fire by the flames of hell, according to James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, that's not my definition. That's what the Word of God had to say about this issue of the tongue. And we treaded very gently during our study of the book of James. But you just can't, there's no place for it. And that's as much as I'll say about it, okay? There's no place for it. So let's diligently learn to bridle our tongues and avoid sowing discord and preserve the peace in our homes, our churches, and our communities. To this we are pledged.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.